You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and
good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:01 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi and check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning, see what's up with him. I'm sure we can strike up a conversation. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Mickey.
What's up?
Sounds like nothing. It sounds like you, Darkie was out there probably fighting a big old fish when you tried to call. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I know the other morning, you know, we got cut off Thursday morning. You know, right. Just got the first hour in because of power issues, just boom.
Uh-huh.
And he was on them, and he had his sat phone ready and ready to go. They were nuking the tuna. And maybe he was busy, you know, offshore another early morning 12-hour trip or whatever he does. And,
yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
We
that's awesome,
him, so.
Yeah, it's all good. You did good, man. That's good stuff, man. Had a great week, Mickey, here. Just
fishing
with my in the bay, then in the surf, and surfing with my grandkids. I spent all day yesterday with the grandkids at a surf. I'm wore out. I think you just wear me out.
I bet you are.
Man.
I don't know how you do it, man.
Oh, that was good. I got up at 5:00 yesterday morning, fished the surf, you know, until about 8:30. Then they actually got up the crack of 9 and went to the beach with me. That's early for them, you know. So
right.
We got them out there with their friends, and it was a perfect day at the beach.
One of them mid-morning pop outs.
Yeah, that's just, you know, that crack of 9 is good for them, you know.
Mm.
So it's funny. Funny, we just had a great time with them. But, man, our fish has been so good, Mickey. We finally got the wind down.
Finally.
So last week, Yeah, I got had a really great trip and with a father and daughter, you know, and just one of those great days.
Yeah, well, Steve from San Antonio, avid listener, and he and I stay in touch during deer season. He's always sending me deer pictures and all that. He's a good guy. I'm glad
he put him on some
big fish, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's one of those really great outdoorsmen we have in our quiver. Okay, you know, he has a 15,000 pound barbecue pit that he pulls behind his truck and goes to all these hurricanes, disasters, and cooks for people.
Right.
All the volunteers and stuff. You know, he's just something else. Just does all that. You know, him and Hayda go and they cook hamburgers, whatever, pull pork, chicken, whatever those people, and feed them. That's kind of what he does. But, man, it was a neat guy. And the first time I had Steve, had him with one of his buddies from Louisiana. It was back in the early June. And, man, we caught one of those days going like 40 miles an hour.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Just couldn't do nothing. And I got his buddy down from Louisiana. I'm bragging about all these big fish. And he's catching fish like he's catching Louisiana. I was just like, what? You know, it was just crazy, man. But anyway, so I finally got Steve back and looking forward to having him back. He's such a great guy. So I got down there and I had planned to fish. I had him on, I think I had him on Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday. And then I planned to fish this one area and I got down there and about 20-mile run and the tide had fallen out about a foot, Mickey, and the bait had pulled out of there. I go, oh, man, just talk about shuffle the deck overnight. Like, what? And the wind was up, so I made a long run. I went, you know, farther south and got in there. And, man, I pulled in there, and that tide had dropped off, and that bait was up on those grass beds, the outside of them, up against the sand. And you could just see them muddled in there. And you just knew those big trout were in there. So I put the trolling motor down there, and Haley was throwing a spinning rod at first. You know, she's not – didn't really work a topwater a whole lot when you throw a bait caster. She was doing pretty good with the spinner. Then I got her over to a bait caster, and I've never seen anybody pick it up so fast, Mickey. In 30 minutes, she's walking the dog. She ain't dragging the dog. She's walking the dog with that bait caster.
Yeah, that dog dragging don't work out too good. You got to walk
She wasn't dragging the dog. She was walking the dog with that topwater, you know. And then we started catching fish on topwater, and just a lot of just fish, small fish, you know. And then I heard that certain sound that I want to hear, that certain toilet flush.
Yeah, that
you know?
Good sucking, flaring,
that
popping
deep,
sound,
that
buddy.
Deep boil, you know.
Oh,
and
I told
Steve, I said, that's a toad right there. And he sets a hook, and this fish just goes off, you know, a big old fish, you know. And it turned out to be 27 inches, 6.5. That was the first really big one we caught that day, you know. And,
right.
And I knew those big fish were in there because there's tons of finger mullet in there, tons of small trout, and it's just crazy this time of year. You can catch 15 little ones, then catch 4 or 5 big ones in the same area.
Right.
It's just nuts how I think they're pulling up there and eating those little ones, pulling off, and I think there's so many small fish everywhere that those small fish are going to be around big fish simply because there's
so many.
Yeah,
it's hard to get through them to get to the big ones.
It's hard to get through them, you know. It's just nuts, you know. And then I got Haley back there. It's so cool. Haley's back there, you know. She's throwing, working that topwater, and she was fishing hard, you know. And the same thing, I hear that big old blow up. Ooh, she gets her a big one. You know, the other picture I sent, you know. So, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I got a both a good fish now. My day's, you know, day's made. And
it's all
as
downhill.
We're going down, yeah. I mean, as we're going down, we're kind of pull up on this little grass pocket, and man, you can just see something's going on in there. The bait's just getting away from it and stuff, and Haley fires in there, and the toilet just flushes again. Whoa, you know, it was a bunch. It was a big pot of reds. And those reds just all tried to get on that topwater at one time. Everybody trying to, you know, jump on it. So that was pretty cool. Caught her a big red and got out there. But I think one of the coolest bites that year, I mean, that day, where she's fishing an orange skitterwalk. And she's fishing the back of the boat, and she throws it out. And this fish really wants it, Mickey. She's reeling it and just blowing it out of the water about 5 times. Just I can't believe the fish didn't hit it. You know, I mean, it's hitting hard like it wants it. And the time she got it next to the boat, it's about 5 feet from the boat. The fish is still trying to eat it. And so he reels it up. And I said, just pitch it up there about 5 feet. She pitches it 5 feet behind the water, and that fish eats it behind the boat. Just right there. I mean, I know the fish saw the boat. Anyway, she catches that fish. But that was amazing. That fish was so close to the boat. Yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. When they want it, buddy, they want it. They don't care.
They do. You can't beat them off with a baseball bat.
Yeah, but it was just a really good day that day. Caught a lot of fish, and just nice to have some really great people in the boat with me. But yeah, that was I didn't know you knew him, so you've known Steve for a while. Yeah,
He's listed on my phone as Steve from San Antonio.
Yeah, I think he moved from San Antonio, and I think he says, well, I think Mickey still calls me Steve from San Antonio. But, man,
I do.
About a great guy, great angler, man. He's kind of what we need, you know. Then, I'm out at the beach on this week's surf, and surf was good. And I've got a bunch of my buddies that are firemen, ex-firemen, retired firemen that surf, you know. And they're telling me the story about Austin, where the Austin Fire Department has the most elite search and rescue team anywhere.
Right.
They're specially trained. They got the best equipment. They wanted to go 3 days before that flood just to see if something happens. And the chief police of the fire department will not release those guys. They still
told them to stand down. They're not going. Yeah.
And that's just amazing. All those tax dollars, we train those guys, and that guy won't send them. And so the city manager is trying to fire that chief police. These firemen want to walk off the job because they won't let him go.
Oh, yeah.
It's all political, you know, stuff. Just ridiculous, you know. I just cannot believe
it's
that.
It's childish.
It's just so stupid. Childish.
Politics
you know,
are so nasty.
It's a chief police. The chief of the fire department won't let him know. And it's just so bad because all these guys don't like him now. They want to get him fired, you know. They want to go help those people.
Sure.
You know, we got firemen and stuff here. They're volunteering on their days off going down there. Just like my buddy Hudson Moon, you know, what a great stick in the water he is back in Ozon. He spent 4 or 5 days down there, you know, helping people out. And he said a whole bunch of his Aggie friends, a bunch of A&M friends were down there with him, and all those people volunteering. And here we got guys that we train, and our tax dollars went into their salaries and all that, and they won't go because of either a political or a religion or a race, you know, something like that. It's just stupid.
Yeah,
I mean, all that needs to be put aside. All that
stupid.
Needs to be put aside. And get down there and get these people some closure, because I just don't get that, man. So anyway, kind of got me. What just kind of got me mad on that deal. And the firemen, you know, a couple of my great firemen, like Steve, I've known all my life. I've traveled all over the world with him surfing. He's a retired fireman. He went to New York, you know, during the 9/11 to help those people on his days off. You know, this is what those guys are like. You know, then you can't have guys that want to help and have somebody else holding them back.
Oh, there's a lot of retired EMS type guys like that are down there helping out, doing what they can.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's unbelievable wonderful people are. You know, then you have something like that go on. It's just just breaks your heart that anything.
Well,
that
Texas has no place for people like that. I mean, Texans are
no
man. We're a great state, and people really come together during tough times and disasters like that. And it warms the heart, man.
Yeah, and there's not many people like that. But, you know, to refuse those firemen that want to go and just hold them back for political reasons. And, you know, those are the best trained people we got in search and rescue. They got the best equipment, all that. And it's just sitting there not being used. And we got all these people that need to be found. It's just heartbreaking that I never thought that would happen. You know,
I never in my wildest dreams. Yeah. Not in a great state of Texas.
No, sir. No, sir. I thought you could set all that stuff aside and get this stuff done. And you want to go back to all the whining and mean who does what. Just get it done after that. You know, get these people some closure. It's crazy. But anyway, sorry about that. I just had to get it off my chest. terrible.
Soapbox terrible. Saturday.
I'm sorry, Bubba. It just bothered me to hear that. You know, all the firemen are mad here, you know. But anyway, it's all good.
Steve just texted me. He said, I also buried a hook in my hand that day. And I refused to leave, so I pulled it out and continued to fish.
Oh,
says great day, man.
I forgot
day,
to tell
man.
You what happened to him. Oh my God, I forgot about that. And that wasn't just a hook, Mickey. It was, I mean, to the bone. I can't believe how tough this guy.
God.
So he
top
reaches down,
hook?
You know, to grab. Oh yeah, and a skitter walk. And I, you know, he grabs a little fish. We're in a hurry. The fish are really popping really good, and that fish just slung it, and it went in the knuckle between the in the little finger. Below, between the two knuckles on the little finger, I mean down to the bone. It's when you look at the hole, it's purple. You know,
oh gosh.
And he goes, I don't want to go in. He says, I don't want to go in and mess this day up. So he takes a pair of pliers. We take the hook off the split ring, and then he takes a pair of pliers and pulls that thing out by itself. I mean, makes my toes curl.
He didn't put it in the ice chest and numb it out first?
No, he was ready to catch another fish. He just caught a big one, wanted to catch another big fish.
Well, I knew he was tough. He's
a tough dude, man. I mean, I kind of felt like I'm a wimp.
He's salty.
Anyway, I was impressed. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Man. I've had grown men almost pass out with a hook in them, man. They turn white, and I said, hey, you better sit down. Sit down right here. And I'll make them up a little ice pack, and I said, just hold that on there and numb it out. That ice, think it's ready yet? I said, no, do it for about 10 minutes, and you get good and numb, and I'll yank it out of there for you.
Well, Steve didn't want to miss 10 minutes of throwing that top water. He said, I could have caught two more fish, but he didn't mess around with that thing. But, you know, Haley helped him, and, boy, Haley was tough, man. She got in there. She didn't want to go in either, so she's helping him out. But, you know, my poor arthritis hands are so bad, they're like ham hocks. I can't do nothing with that string trick. I mean, I'm not going to try to risk that, you know. I mean, I'm going to let them do it.
Hey, man, your hands and your shoulders are about used up, brother. Ronnie goes, yeah, why does Cliff have so much shoulder trouble? I said, because he's been paddling a surfboard all his life. It's not from casting.
Casting.
The casting didn't help, but surfing, man. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I got me two injections. I got two injections in my shoulder this week. I feel like I'm 60 again.
Oh, God, I need to come go with you. That way you can
blow
that top water by me by 20 yards, man.
That's right, buddy.
You throw so hard, no wonder you're messed up.
That's my
I'm
problem.
Just sitting there flipping one-handed. You're rearing back and letting her go, man. I said, this is crazy. Let me knock this commercial break out. I'll be right back at you, brother. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast. Look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish. Whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction, remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:20 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, buddy. You know, we had a good week in the surf fishing, too. We had a lot of fish caught in the surf this week.
Well, that's good to hear.
The surf finally went down, and I knew it was good. My good friend Greg caught a 28-incher a couple of days ago. Ooh, in the surf. Just a big old coat, about 7 pounds, you know, and everything. It's so weird because I walk up yesterday morning, it's still dark, and I'm on the beach. I'm sitting there waiting for it to get light. I can't wait till it gets light, you know. And I got this big old super spook on. You'll love this. And I kind of walk out there and angle deep, and I fire it out there, and I can't see the plug. And I get this huge black backlash. So I just trashed my best reel on the first cast in the surf. I mean, I go, well, that was stupid. You couldn't even see it land or anything. You didn't know where it was in the air. You didn't even want to put your thumb on it. You know, I fired out there, and I go, well, I got a big old backlash here. Then I can't see to pick it out. So thank God I had another rod.
Anyway,
that's kind of how my day started. Yeah, but anyway, so I go back to the rod and go back to the truck. And I had this client, Rick, in Florida, that came down. They come down every year. They drive down from Florida and fish me in the winter. And they've had some fantastic trips. And Rick's makes these really custom spinning rods. I mean, they professionally fish snook and stuff, and they're like 7'3", and they got these really Gucci eyes on them that cast real far. So he sent me one in the mail, and of course, FedEx broke it. They broke three or 4 inches off the tip, you know. So I'm just bummed. So it takes forever to make one. I'm gonna sit it back. I said, man, I'm just gonna keep it. So I put a tip on it, and I put it in my truck. Thank God for an extra reel. And so I got that sucker, Mickey, and I fired out there with a little John with a quarter-ounce head on it. And I flipped it one time, thunk, and I caught my perfect 18-inch trout that I've been wanting to make ceviche out of. So that's what I was really fishing for, something under 20 inches. You know, I caught that one 18-incher there that was perfect for ceviche. And I did something cool. I did what Mike Herring does. I brought that fish in, and it was kind of hooked in the gills, bleeding real good. So I went ahead and made it bleed a little more and put it in the ice chest and bled that fish. And then I took it home and made ceviche, and that meat was so white when I filleted it from bleeding like that.
Bleeding it
and that
out,
was some that was some really good ceviche I made last night out of that fish. And then I caught a Sierra mackerel, about 3 or 4 pounds, you know, nice Sierra too, and I took it and made ceviche out of it. But really cool how many fish are in the surf, but the water's so clear now. It's an early morning bite. You know, it's just typical surf. You got to be on them early, and you got a couple hours. But the weird thing, they're not hitting, for me, they're not hitting top water like normal. They're hitting soft plastic, you know.
Well, when that surf gets real clear, that's what happens up here once we get laid down and our surf gets in great shape. You know, the first couple of days, you'll do good on lures. And then after that, when it gets real clear, it's live bait city. They quit eating lugs.
Yeah, one of my clients texted me yesterday. He was down the beach, down toward Big Shell, Jeremy down there, and he was catching some fish, surfing, and he said, man, I'm seeing those big trout, like you say, up on the bar, shallow, and I'm trying to sight cast them. They won't eat anything. Well, what's happening is you look at all we've got in the surf. We got all those glass minnows, anchovy minnows. We got mullet. We got shrimp. We got tons of shad. It's kind of hard. It's a hard sell. I mean, the time you see them. Well, you think about this. Time you see that fish at 9 or 10 o'clock when the sun's up, how much has he had to eat in that morning?
How much has he had to eat? And, hey, can he see you? If you can see him, you know he can see you.
Yes. And that's the trick is you can't push him. You almost have to stand there and let him come to you. A lot of times when I'm easing down the surf, I'll see him up ahead of me, and they'll see my movement or my arm move, and they'll just turn out and disappear. But sometimes if you'll just stand there real still, you got a better shot at him coming by.
How far, you know, when you fish that beach, how far down that beach can you go in a vehicle?
You go like, 60 miles all the way to Mansfield.
Can you?
Yes, sir, drive all the way to Port Mansfield by beach. And a lot of those guys drive all the way down. And it's so weird, Mickey, how some years the fish really, the migration of big fish move. A few years ago, everything was north of Packery, the big trout. And now it seems like all the big trout are like 20, 30 miles down the beach. In the wading guts, you know, and lots of tarpon, a lot of guys catching tarpon, and a lot of, I'm seeing some big hammerheads being caught. And, you know, when I'm surfing in the water, what's so strange, though, I'm surfing out the third bar, and the pelicans are diving around me and stuff. There's tons of bait out deep. Normally, this time of year, all those pelicans and everything in the first gut around Packery. I don't know if that bait's not moved in there or something's going on, because Packery's not normal. It's not, we're not catching the fish around on the beach, Packery and Normandy. They'll catch some fish off the rocks, but it's just not a normal year at Packery. It seems like everything's south. No, just the migration of fish always changes. I'm sure it does in your area.
It does. You know, it's we've got so many miles of beachfront, you know, from all the Bolivar Peninsula and then all of West End Galveston that, you know, and all the seawall and stuff. Those fish can be anywhere. You know, one day you may catch them at the Balinese room, and the next day they're down by the pass. You just don't know.
And that's what Greg was saying, too. You know, he'll catch them in one little gut, you know, 5 or 6 miles down. He goes the next morning, and all the bait's gone. It's moved 7 or 8 miles down. So it's just, don't think you're going to go right back and catch them because, you know, you can't, if you're in a surf and you're a trout, you can't sit still. You're not going to mosey around because the guy in the gray suit's going to be behind you. Right.
It moves the bait fish. Naturally, all the fish stay with the bait. I remember when I was a kid, when I'd fish with my dad, we'd just get in his pickup, you know, and back then you could drive all the beachfront, and we'd drive and drive and drive forever till we saw those mullet spraying and slicks popping. Mm-hmm. Then you get out and then you get them, you know, instead of just standing in one place and hoping a school will come through you.
Yeah, and that's what I've learned more than on the beach. You need to get the truck and move. You know, there's so much dead area to find. Well, you think about those trout running down that beach. Every once in a while, they kind of bow into the shore and get close. And then they, you know, the other ones are far out. If you could see the line of trout, it'd be amazing. But the size of the mullet makes a difference. There's tons of those, you know, foot long mullet. But when you find those 6-inch mullet, a whole bunch of them, that's when you're going to find your fish. You know, they like that smaller size bait.
I got a text from a listener said, "Ask Cliff how far he moves down the beach while throwing." I don't know what he means by that.
Well, yeah, I once I find them, I sit on them. You know, once I find the bait, I'll sit on them like that. But the trouble with the beach is a lot of times you can't see that bait right at daylight. So you hope that you find a spot first thing in the morning. You got some bait. You know, you can't see nothing. And then when it gets a little bit light, you start looking at the bait, and what you're going to see is a lot of bait in the first or second gut that's just real lethargic, not jumping. There's no fish in there. So you'll move a little bit, and you'll find the gut. The fish are really jumping, really nervous. You'll have a bunch of birds sitting on the beach. That's where the fish have pushed them up in that gut, because those trout will stay in that second or third gut out there, and then they'll find a little area when the tide's coming in, and the fish have pulled up in that gut, and they'll run up there and eat them. Because when they're in that first gut, they're feeding, because they're able to pin that stuff down. Sometime when they're in that third or fourth gut, you know, they're traveling. But when they're in that first gut, it's like the Golden Corral, buddy. They're ready. You know,
buffet baby
when they get in that first gut. I love it in that first gut, man.
Well, you know, and when I was a kid, I was confined pretty much to the first gut and first and second gut. I just get on the first sandbar and then fan my cast down the beach from right to left, and my dad and all them, they'd go straight out to that third bar, but I was too little to get out there with them. And, man, there was a bunch of days I put it on them because I was in shallow. They were on the outside of the fish, and they all ended up in there on the first bar with me. We're all throwing down the beach, and bigger fish, too. Seemed like those bigger fish, you'll catch them. And, you know, you can watch them. They'll circle out. It's just like fishing in the bay. If you're fishing a flat with a ledge pattern like we have a lot of that up here, you'll see those fish. They'll pull in. All the bait will get nervous, and you'll start catching them real good, you know, in knee-deep to waist-deep water. And then all of a sudden it'll quit, and you can watch those fish. They'll just circle out. And they always go counterclockwise. They'll go straight out and then turn back to the left and circle right back in and come back to that bait. It's so weird.
That's what they're doing. Same thing in the surf. I've seen the land cut, too, especially on a real low tide in the cut. When they can't get up on that edge, they'll work that edge. They won't stay on that edge a lot. They'll pull out in the deep water, and then all of them will push up on the edge and surprise the bait. You know, a lot of them are cruising down the edge. But you think about that. So they're up against that edge in that shallow water. You get a school of trout come in there before they know it. They can pin them up against that edge. And you can just watch the bait.
You know, that's why they school and get together in those schools like that. And they herd bait and they corral it just like, you know, dolphins do and just like sharks do. And
It's crazy. Let me tell you how smart these dolphins become. So we catch a big trout, you know, five. This is crazy.
You got the smartest dolphin in Texas down there. I've witnessed that firsthand, man.
All right, she's watching me, not just watching me, and she knows if I'm going to catch a fish, I'm going to take it over and put it shallower. She can't get her. I'm going to fire the boat up and move.
I saw we catch a 5-pounder. She slips out and goes stealthy and goes underneath my boat. I can see her on my electronic. She's laying under my boat, not making no bubbles like she's gone. And she wants me to turn that fish loose. Uh-uh. I take the trolling motor. I go all the way over, like 6 inches of the water, put her in there, then run the trolling motor real hard so she can't, you know, use right. electronics to find her radar, you know. And so I just have to move now because she's not just gotten so smart. She'll just hover under my boat because she wants those bigger fish.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just stupid how smart these guys are, you know. another thing, Mickey's been happening. We caught two gaff top. Steve caught two gaff top in one day. So, and I go back
in
to Marina.
Your backyard, gaff top.
Yes, sir, Bubba. And I'm going back to the. Yes, I'm going back to Marina. I'm whining about my gaff top story. And Aaron Loomis goes, "Man, I catch about three a day on croaker now." I said, "What?" He said, "So evidently, you sent them gaff top down here for me. I don't know what you're doing to me, but I got snot sharks in my bay."
Oh man.
Don't be bringing those
down
here.
They're not as bad up here this year as they have been in the past for whatever
They're down
reason.
Here.
Maybe they've kind of spread out a little bit. Maybe
I don't we know. Need a break. You have
them. We still have them. Don't get me wrong, but nothing like, I mean, I've been working schools of fish in the past, and especially this time of year, and, man, if you get off those trout and redfish just right, those gaff top are balled up. I mean, it's just, you can't. And then you know you're either in front of the fish or behind the fish when you're, you know, chasing open water school like that. When you hit the gaff top, you need either slow down and back off or speed up and get ahead of them.
Right. So they're outside. In other words, they're not schooling with the trout. They're schooling
Well, they're either on
outside.
One end or the other. No, they're with the school, but they're all in their group following the trout and the redfish. Usually if you hit a perfect magic school in open water and they're slicking and mud boiling and doing their thing for you and they're laid out perfectly. Usually the redfish are in the very front and then trout behind them and then gaff top behind the trout. And then, you know, and God, black drum will be in there too. If you really get behind them, you'll get on the black drum. And it's a
one stop shop, man.
Oh, it's nasty sometimes. It gets ugly. Real ugly.
Yeah, well, I just want to know what you do with all that slime. So when Steve pulls that first one up, it's like, that's a big fish, man. He's digging to the bottom. That's a good one. It's going to be a big old flounder. And, nope. And he goes, nah, it feels like a gaff top. And it starts doing that little thump, 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 thump.
The old tail and wiggle and the head bouncing.
Yeah, then the slime comes out of the water about 2 foot up on the lead. I go, well, that ain't good, you know. But that slime thing on the lead.
I'll just take
weird.
That slime and my index finger and thumb and just slide it all the way down to my bait, and then I'll slap it on the water and knock that big old snot ball off of there, man. It's nasty. Let me knock this break out. I'll come at you, brother. All right.
All right.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display, all their different size bottles, along with their regulators and diffusers. They refill your bottles right there at the store. And if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp, whether you're looking for the big 9-12s, whatever count you like. Great price, great availability. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food, and their Santa Fe location also. So check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com or call the store at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 6:39 here in the Bayou City. Final segment already. Time's flown by today. All right, Cliff, we are back. How you dropped? Well, it's been a while since that's happened. Corpus Christi. Now, real quick, I'll give everybody your weather update. While we're getting Cliff back for the Galveston Bay system here, winds are still down inshore. It's kind of weird. Closer you get to Galveston, a little higher it is, but it's like south-southwest 3 to 9 down that way. But offshore, the buoy out there is showing south-southeast 20 to 27 now. Goodness. Really picked up. But Eagle Point's 7 to 8, Morgan's Point due south at 5 to 7, and radar, believe it or not, is clean. All right, looks good for all you fishermen fishing inside today. All right, Cliff, we're back, man. I knew we were going to get a drop sooner or later.
Oh, I know it. It happens. You know, I heard it.
It does. It's a conspiracy.
It is.
They're after you, man.
Oh, that's all right. Everybody
Big Brother's watching over you.
Hey, you know, so I got a great text while ago from Barry O'Brien. He's in a tournament down in, I think he's up Port Aransas, Rockport, and he's
right.
In seventh place right now. And I got a video of him running the boat, and they're taking off again to try to win. But man, it's just so cool. All these tournaments.
Was he in a redfish tournament?
I think it's a trout, redfish, and flounder.
Oh, a combo, yeah.
Combo deal. Yeah. But you know, Barry's a really good flounder fisherman. He's one of the best I've seen. So if there's a flounder in the deal, you better
watch out.
It's good. But
man,
you know,
some guys just have a knack for them flounder, you know?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, it's all about that bottom thump. It's just once you understand
it is.
You got to keep that thing on the bottom. You got to thump it. You got to do that. And if you ever been walking down the grass here and you kick up a shrimp, he never jumps once, Mickey. He jumps twice. Boom, boom. And so if you learn that double bump, boom, boom, on that bottom, yeah, you'll catch more fish. They want that double twitch and a pause, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people don't pause it long enough. You know, that's another thing. They don't, if you watch the flounder videos of those fish following that bait, they follow it for a little while.
Yeah,
you know,
they do.
Anyway, I love to fish those flounder. Golly.
I like it when they're stacked up pretty good and you got them on a ledge or something or a drop off. And then you take that bait down and drag it right over their body while they're laying on the bottom. They cannot take that. Once you tickle him with that bait and stop it in front of him, that bait's going night-night. It's out of here.
Yeah. You know, there was a, at the mouth of Lancut, you know, 40 years ago, there was roll-off channel, and it was a channel going back in the dead man of the dead man's hole there, I mean the graveyards. And Doug had a cabin there at the end of his cabin. And so we would all go fish the cut to slay the trout. I mean, just unbelievable. We'd all meet back at the cabin to have lunch about 11. We pull up to his pier and catch 30 flounder off that pier because those flounder were coming out of that channel. And it was all with the, I remember it was a hoagie, red shrimp tail with a fire tail. And those big old I think they were Joe Baby leadheads, big old giant leadheads, you know, we'd bounce them.
Right.
I mean, flounder was so easy to catch back then, Mickey. There were so many on those side channels. And over the years, they've gone away. Of course, I can catch them. You know, if I wanted flounder fish, I can usually catch one. But in the old days, in the fall, it was just a given in that channel. I'm sure you got channels that are like that in the fall where it's almost a guarantee, you know, that they're going to be.
Oh, there. Man, our river mouth up in the top end of Trinity Bay in the fall, we used to just, we'd always start out waiting for trout. We'd get our limit of trout. And I'd just run over to the sandbar there at the river mouth and put everybody out, and we'll just wait on the sandbar and then just throw off an edge of that river channel and drag those baits up that ledge. Oh, my goodness. Those flounder were stacked up in there like cordwood.
That's neat. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how you could actually reel one up to you, and if he came off, he'd just go right to the bottom by your feet, and you could just sit there and doodle sock him till, you know, right on top of him, and he'd eat it, and you'd catch him anyway.
I've seen Jay Watkins do that. Jay's one of the first ones that taught me that. So I'm fishing with Jay over in Rockport, and flounder came off, and he says, all right, he's right here.
Yeah.
He goes out there about 5 minutes later and catches that flounder. But you're right. They'll follow it up and bury up but in front of you. I think one of the coolest things I do is sight cast flounder. There's one area that I fish, and you can walk up to these little uneven ledges, and you'll sit there and stare at the sand, You won't see nothing, and all of a sudden, it'll just appear an outline of a flounder. You've been looking at it, but finally you get to see it, you know?
Right.
And then you kind of see the eyeballs. And then the coolest thing is you can reel that plastic up in front of you, just kind of bump it on the bottom, and he feels that vibration. And it's so funny when his eyes pop up like a frog, you know he's getting ready to eat it. It's so cool because his eyes will pop up like a frog, you know. He just pounces on it, you know. Then they take off with that mud streak. So that sight casting flounder is kind of fun. It really is.
Yep, that's looking for them green eyes at nighttime.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. When they shut the flounder gigging down, you know, in those couple of months, I got one of my buddies that goes out there with a light and a gulp. And he sees the flounder on the bottom with the light. He pushes the gulp in front of him and jigs it until he catches it on a rod and reel. So he goes and gets his two flounder. Well, you know, he goes and gets his two flounder at night with his, you know, $200,000 flounder rig. You got to do something with it.
Two flounder. I just spent $200,000. Y'all chew on these a little slow tonight.
That's
when I cook
the way that
for
flounder
you.
Fishing is. I saw Chris Coulter build a flounder boat over there in Aransas Pass. I think it was like a $160,000 flounder boat. I have never seen a flounder boat like this.
My gosh.
It was incredible.
Air motor on it and all that.
Oh, yeah, but all the stainless steel racks and stuff on it and the LED lights all around it. But one of the most impressive thing was all the lights were hydraulic. You could adjust the level of the lights, all turn them underwater.
Wow.
But the flounder box, so when you got the flounder on the gig, you bring him up the side, it has a slide box where you stick your gig in, it pulls the flounder off for you. It has an angle that slides back into a stainless steel box with ice in it. So, I mean, this guy had the Gucci rig there, dude.
Boy,
I mean,
that is. Wow. Now, that's high-tech redneck right there.
High-tech redneck, buddy. You know, remember when we started flounder, it was a lantern with a piece of wire and a piece of tinfoil that you tilted the lantern so you could walk, you know, with a gig.
Yeah, and then they came out with a shield that fit on the handle where the light would just shine forward. We still had to carry that. You had the little wooden handle you carried or the big swing handle on the top. And remember, they were just single mantle, and then they come out with a double mantle. Oh, we were really...
Oh, the double mantle. I had one of the double mantles.
Oh,
big time. They're heavier, but they were good, man, but... So
my dad called them double trouble. He said, that's just one more mantle for you boys to break.
Did your dad and everybody carry the mantles in their cap and they put the extra
mantles
up
to keep them getting wet. But, you know, we finally got smart and we built these sleds. fiberglassed them and everything, made them out of plywood where you could pull them. And they were, it was a box probably about 4 feet long and a couple of feet wide. And it had a lid on top of it. And it had holes drilled all in the side where water would stay in it, but it'd still float. And you could just throw your flounder in there after you gig them. And that way, if you needed, you know, two hands, you could set your lantern on top of that sled that we built. And
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it made it a whole lot easier. Now they were heavy and hard to carry. You know, once you get down to the water, but sure made life a lot easier when you're out there trying to manipulate a gig and a lantern, and you know, oh boy. Plus, you didn't have to pull a stringer behind you, you know, with flounder on it, getting all wound up, twisted up.
Yeah, around your feet.
Oh,
I had a guy gig my flounder on the stringer before. There's one. He gigged it. I said, dude, that one's on my stringer, okay? He was walking behind me and gigging my fish that was on the stringer.
My big sister married this yahoo from Nebraska, and he was as far from an outdoorsman as you could get, but we took him floundering one night. Louis gigged, I don't know, four or five stingrays before we tried to tell him that is not what we're out here for. And, it was kind of buried up in the mud like y'all were describing to me, and I saw those two eyes, and I just stuck it between his eyes. I said, no, this is what a flounder looks like.
And then you got to get him off the gig. Get that
then you
got
to get him off the gig, and, oh, man.
You know, I floundered a lot with my – first I really started floundering with my son, my oldest son, CR, and I know he was, you know, in his early 20s or something. He was really into the flounder, and he had these big styrofoam blocks, you know, with a battery on it and the underwater light that you carried, you know. But the coolest thing we did, we had a night with Roger, the guy that used to work at the marina, where I think it was 1993, and it was one of the most incredible flounder I've ever seen. All the flounder were just monsters. I gigged a 10 3/4 that night.
Oh, big gosh. That's bigger than a doormat.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. I gigged him in 6 inches of water. I could barely hold that fish down. He just soaked me. But my son did something really cool. So we get out there in belly deep water and we gig those fish. Instead of having to bend over in the water, you know, run water down your neck, my son would take a gaff and, you know, stick it in the styrofoam thing. And when he'd get a flounder, he'd run it beside that your gig and reach it under the flounder's neck and poke him with that gaff and, you know, put your hands together on the gig and raise them all up, and you have to bend over and get wet. That was the neatest trick. And then it's easy because, you know, you just put him in the box. Like you said, we carried a sack and we put him in there. But that little trick with the gaff really worked, where you don't have to bend over in that, you know, 4 foot water and have that cold water run down your waders, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that would really work. Because a lot of times what would happen is those fish would move out deep, you know, where there a lot of fish were in that waist deep water. A lot of them up on the shore, but still some of those big ones would be out waist deep. And he figured out how to get those. But, you know,
it's, we used to gig a lot of flounder and a surf at night.
Yes.
We'd go to gig crabs is what we actually did, you know. And, man, we gigged a lot of flounder while we were gigging crabs. Boy, them big old blue crabs would get right up, I mean, right in that first gut, right at the edge of the bank.
I see that too, Mickey. That's in August, isn't it? Isn't that usually in August?
Yeah.
Okay, that's when those big shrimp come in, those big white shrimp come up on the surface.
Exactly, you know, and Gulf shrimp season's open now, too. I failed to mention that this week, but so king fishing ought to get a lot better when we get these shrimp boats working and get these kings schooled up on them.
Yeah, I was at the beach yesterday with my kids, a shrimp boat about 4 miles offshore. I could see it out there, so they're definitely here.
Yeah, this time of year when that shrimp season starts, you can tell when the surf's fixing to get really right because those shrimpers are dragging right up against the surf, man.
Yeah.
And it pushes all them shrimp in, shallow, and trout with them, reds, everything.
Well, you know, that trout I kept yesterday was 18 inches long, and I reeled it in, and that thing had some in its belly, the big old poke. It looked like she's, you know, spawning. See, the big old thing in her belly, so... When I come home, I flayed that fish, had a big old gizzard shad. I mean, as big as your hand. So there's shad are still in that surf like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still in
their bays. They grow up in the bays and migrate to the Gulf when they get big.
Our temperature in the water is 3 degrees cooler on this date right now, yesterday, than it was last year.
Than it was last year?
Yeah, we've had less days over 96.
We had 13 at this time last year over 96. The year before, we had 14 over 100 degrees, and that's when all the fish moved to the cut, moved south, got in the deep water. We lost the fishing bath, and it hadn't happened yet. What concerns me
maybe
is,
it won't this ready. Year. I mean, it's already, well, you know, we're getting towards the end of July. Maybe you can keep your fish this year.
That's what I'm hoping for, Mickey.
You know, you've had a lot more cloud cover this year and a lot more rain, and it'd be nice.
I'm hoping that if they don't dump all the chemicals in the back of Alathon and run them out. But, you know, we've been – and a lot of people showed up at that meeting and they covered it on Channel 3 News and stuff, but so many people did not know about what they're doing back there in the back of the bay.
Well, and, no. You know, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to get it in under the radar, man.
And what come to find out, they're building a giant battery factory, the biggest in the world, to build those batteries for the cars. Elon Musk is behind it, and they're building a big subdivision for all the people, and they realize they're not going to have enough water. So that's why this is all going on. They're slipping on the table. But the
well,
big
I can
thing,
assure you this,
said,
they'll take care of society and the people and the general population before they will the fishery. I promise you that.
And the our big concern is, okay, you're dumping brine water, but not only brine, you're dumping all that sulfur in our system. That's what I don't get. You know, where's that about? But anyway, we're getting to the bottom of it. A lot of good people showing up, Rousey, and a lot of good guys and been in there and fighting for us on that. So we appreciate it. So hopefully
it can get curtailed and they can find another avenue, a different way to dispose of the wastewater. I mean, I don't know.
Well, just like you said, Mickey, why don't they build a pipe to the Gulf? That would be so easy. You know, I just don't get it. But anyway, I won't get on that.
Well, it's all about money. You know, this is a money thing. Hey, I just got a text from a listener. Who's a good taxidermist down in your area?
Well, John Glenn.
For mountain speckled trout. Who?
John Glenn. My mouth. He hasn't been able to do skin mounts.
The taxidermist.
No, it's John Glenn taxidermist, and you text me, I'll give you his phone number. But, you know, for a couple of years, John's been doing replicas because you can't keep a trout now. But now that the tag, you've got a 28-inch, he's getting some skin mounts in. But all the fish that I've had done by him for the last 30 years, skin mounts, they still look like they swim off the wall. 30 years.
They do. I wish my mounts looked as good as yours. Mine are all just destroyed. Well, they're bad, I just hung them out on the back patio, and they're conversation pieces. Fins.
I've got a bunch of them.
Fins cratered on
like
them, tails peeling off, and eyeballs. And, well, I even got those little Carolina wrens, those little house wrens or whatever they are. They have babies. I got a stringer mount. They get in the top of it, and they'll put a nest in the mouth of one of those trout every year.
Good. But, you know, if you've had those fish done by John Glenn many years ago in the old days, so the skin has oil in it, and the skin, it'll start coming out in your fish about 5 years later. It'll turn a little bit yellow from the oil because the skin, it's actual skin of the fish. Well, John will strip that off and repaint it. So that stringer I got on my wall about 6 years after I had it done, it started getting yellow. He stripped all that paint off and he's got a new paint that doesn't yellow and repainted that stringer. And man, what a difference.
Cool.
Because those fish, you know, the thing about skin mounts, Mickey, you can't cheat. In other words, you can't say you caught a 30-inch fish and tell the taxidermist it's 32 and have them send you a 32.
Right, send him girth measurements and have the fish made and won't. That's right.
Yes, it's the exact same fish, and it looks so real. And if you're going to kill, you know, I look at it this way. If those big fish are probably sterile anyway. If I'm going to kill a 35-inch trout, I'm going to get a skin mount. I'm sorry. I want that fish. I mean, you know, I can kill one in 30
years. First, I'm going to weigh it in with TPNW and get a record certified, and then I'm going to mount it.
There you go. I like the way you think.
I mean, that fish is, you know, it's like a giant deer, an old deer. It's done. It's served its purpose.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
It is. Hey, by the way, Bart, I know how much time, but have you ever heard anything else about that 41-inch trout skeleton?
Never heard another word about it. I think it turned out to be a nothing burger, a hoax or something. I don't know.
Oh, God, I got to find out about that. That just makes my hair.
It sure looked good, though, didn't it?
I mean, oh, God.
41 inches? Come on, man.
I get a little more pep in my calf there, buddy. I need to find out.
You think? Makes you want to move to Matagorda. You know, if there's one, there's two.
Yeah, man. There's two,
right? Buddy. Well, Cliff, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them a number so they can reach you, man.
All right, Mickey, Madero Code 361. 949-0707. Appreciate having me on. I had a listener
text earlier and said he's texting Steve in San Antonio. They're trying to work up and get down and get another trip in with you here shortly.
Come on, Steve. That's a great guy. Thanks for all you do for everybody out there, Steve. We appreciate guys like you, man.
Heck of an outdoorsman. Thanks, man. All right, brother. We'll see you, man.
Later.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb and Baffin. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.